Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My name is Molly McLaughlin, and I own a company that optimizes sleep through technology, accountability, and behavioral change. Each week, I'll be interviewing world-class experts ranging from doctors, innovators, and thought leaders to give actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to become a more skillful sleeper. Let's jump into your dose of practical sleep training. Welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, and I'm very excited for you to listen to this episode today. Now, it is all about the LEAF wearable, which is short for Get Relief, essentially. And what I'm referring to it as is basically one of the coolest wearables that no one is talking about. And the reason I say that is part of the way I describe it to people is basically it's like a continuous glucose monitor, but specifically for your HRV and to train your HRV. Now, what it essentially looks like is that you wear it next to your heart or over your heart throughout the course of the day. And, you know, when I first recorded this episode, you'll hear it in our interaction that basically I just received the LEAF. So, and since then, I've had an opportunity to test it out all over the place, gotten lots of interesting data around myself, really learning about myself of when I kind of go into these anxious states, when my breathing shifts, certain foods that don't seem to agree with me, all kinds of issues around the source point that then results in lowered HRV. And what's really empowering is that it basically buzzes you when it dips to a certain point that is deviated from your baseline. And when that buzz happens, then you basically are training yourself to shift your breathing to bring that HRV back up and kind of shift from a sympathetic response to a parasympathetic response. So it's really, really helpful for those of us that are dealing with, or just any of us that want to improve our HRV over time. But certainly in the sleep conversation, if we are in a sympathetic state, you know, a large portion throughout the day, and then anticipate we'll be able to easily with little effort to shift into this parasympathetic state to go to sleep, it can be very challenging for many of us. So to train how to do this throughout the course of the day is incredibly valuable. And so the person that we're speaking to as a representative of this company is Dr. Ty Canning, and he's a clinical psychologist who specializes in behavioral sleep medicine and sexual wellness. The majority of his clinical work is done with the clinic, a San Francisco-based group of private practice, and he is the founder and director of Precision Psychological Medicine Corporation. He also consults with a number of tech companies, including LEAF Therapeutics and Lover, a UK-based sexual health app. Now, we're going to hop right on into this episode with no delay. I think you're going to really enjoy it. And please don't hesitate to reach out if you do have any sort of questions. Also, the company LEAF has hooked us up with all of our listeners with a discount code in the event that you want to test this out. They even have monthly options, so you can just kind of rent this thing at pretty affordable rates. You know, it's like 40-something bucks a month to rent it without a coach if you want to have a coach that they provide, which is actually really great. They're very much make themselves available in a kind of chat form. Then that's around like 99-something bucks a month, and or you can buy it outright. So they do have a promo code for us, Sleep is a Skill, all one word, to get that discount. And the other thing that I really like, because I really do believe that this can be a big access point for people that are struggling with anxiety, stress levels, what have you, they also have a drop-down menu on their website to see if your insurance will cover the price of this, or, you know, to kind of take on that burden if the financials are something that's going to hinder you from really conquering this area of your stress levels or HRV, and or just, you know, are looking to take things to the next level. So let's jump in to hear a bit more from Dr. Ty Canning. And welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. Ty, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Yes. So we already got an opportunity to speak a little bit before we started in, and there's a lot. So I think we can just start at the beginning of how it is, a little bit about you and how you got involved in HRV as it relates to this product LEAF, but also just your passion around that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So a little bit about my background. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist. I did my PsyD program at the PGSP Stanford Consortium, been doing clinical work for about the last 8 years now. And about 5 years ago, I started to specialize in sleep, behavioral sleep medicine, and have done done a lot of rotations and then my postdoc in a behavioral sleep medicine space. And also actually about 5 years ago, I started working with Rohan, the founder and CEO of Leaf Therapeutics. And he asked me to help him with sort of the clinical side of his device, which is a HRV tracking and also biofeedback, HRV biofeedback device, the place in which I'm getting onto your podcast at this moment.
Right. Got it. Okay. Very cool. Yeah. You certainly have a lot to discuss in the world of sleep and how that relates to HRV and how that's all interconnected. But so maybe you can help explain for people that aren't as well-versed, just a little brief overview of HRV and why we care about that metric as it relates to sleep.
Absolutely. HRV is at the most basic level, the variability in heartbeat from beat to beat. So our hearts are constantly responding to our internal and external environment. And when we, for example, when we breathe in, our heart rates go up to increase sort of blood oxygen transfer in the lungs. And then when we breathe out, our heart rates go down to conserve energy. And there's this constant variation moment to moment of our heart rate. And that is what heart rate variability is as a measure. Heart rate variability is also linked to a lot of different systems in the body. So the vagus nerve is innervated to the heart, the lungs, digestive system, and that is connected to the parasympathetic nervous system. So when we increase our HRV, we're activating pretty directly the parasympathetic nervous system. I know it's a little bit of the leg bone is connected to the thigh bone there, but it's that's sort of the order of operations.
Got that. Okay. Really cool. And then, you know, because it's depending on the people in the audience, some people are already avidly tracking their HRV and some people it's kind of a newer concept. So I appreciate you kind of giving us the groundwork there. And now for those people that are well-versed in HRV, why might they want to really take on improving and making a difference with this metric, particularly if they're looking to optimize their sleep?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mentioned briefly before we got onto recording, but a lot of the things out there, a lot of the devices out there are tracking HRV, but they're not teaching you how to directly influence it. And so what Leaf Therapeutics or Leaf as a biofeedback device is doing is helping you actually directly change your HRV and improve your HRV. The reason that that's important is in relation to sleep, HRV, there's a study done in 2015 by Gabriella Warner. And what they found in that study was that pre-bedtime heart rate variability was correlated with high pre-bedtime HRV was correlated with reduced sleep latency, improved quality of sleep, reduced number of arousals. And this makes good sense. When you are our ancestors, right? These sleep systems are 100 thousands years old. If you're our ancestors sleeping in caves and you are not feeling safe, you're going to have a low HRV and that's going to contribute to poor sleep quality, which in that situation is actually going to help keep you alive, right? You want to be sort of on edge throughout the night. So if you're in a dangerous, potentially dangerous situation, your HRV is going to be low, and that's going to lead you to not sleep well, which ancestors sleeping in caves, great situation to not sleep well. However, yes. In our modern day society, the things that contribute to low HRV and our stress levels, those are things that are not life-threatening. And then when we don't sleep well, it ends up sort of reinforcing the cycle. So contrary to that, if you are feeling safe and secure and relaxed, you're going to have a high HRV and you're going to end up sleeping better. So with Leaf and with this as a biofeedback device, you can directly intervene to improve your HRV and therefore lower your stress and therefore improve your sleep.
Awesome. Okay. So normally I wouldn't do this with a podcast, you know, getting so into the actual product itself, but I do feel like so many people, and I get so many emails about, okay, I cannot move my HRV. It's just stuck. Like there's must be something wrong with me, blah, blah. So I do think that this is a unique thing enough that makes sense and warrants to speak to. So just if anyone's, you know, for the watching element of it, this is kind of what it looks like, the product. And so it's, you know, a couple inches big and you would put it on yourself throughout the day. Yeah. And so maybe we can speak a little bit to once this thing is on you throughout the day, or if you have any kind of, or if you could walk us through what this would look like and how does it help us distinguish to shift our HRV in the moment?
Yeah, great. Really great question. It's constantly tracking HRV. It's pushing those notifications to your phone via Bluetooth. And actually, let me backtrack just a little bit. Regardless of it pushing or not pushing information to your phone can be, you know, you could leave your phone in your car and be, you know, without your phone and still have the device function exactly as it should function. So within the device, it's also tracking your HRV, and it gets a sense over the course of a day or two when you first start wearing it, where your baseline HRV is and where a healthy range for you is. When you go outside of that range, mainly when you go lower in that range, then it's going to give you a little alert. It's going to give you just a little vibration, a very discreet, silent vibration that you feel because it's on your skin. And then it's going to help guide you in a breathing exercise. The breathing exercise takes advantage of this increase in heart rate on the inhalation and the decrease in heart rate on the exhalation. And it's really trying to maximize the deceleration of your heart rate, which is the way to maximally impact your parasympathetic nervous system and get you into a state of calm and relaxation as quickly as possible.
Got that. Yep. That's great. So that's happening, right? And then, so there's so many people that say, okay, so then, but what do I do? So now it's, I'm dropping, right? And they say, ugh, come on, is it breath work? Do I need to, is it alert for me around types of foods I'm eating, air quality, you know, just all of these different things people have questions about. Is there kind of like a top-down approach that then you have people work within to then, now we know it's kind of tanking, and then what do we do in that moment?
The short answer to your question is it's breath. Yeah. The short answer is yes, it's breath. And the reason for that is the fact that the vagus nerve, which is connected to the parasympathetic nervous system, is connected to your heart, your lungs, and your digestive system. So when we have this fight or flight response, your heart rate is going up, your breathing is becoming shallow and rapid, your digestion is shutting down, among a bunch of other things. The only thing that, I don't know about you, but when I'm sitting here, I can't just be like, oh, I want to increase my heart rate. Oh, I want to like change my digestion. The only Right. thing I have access to is my breath. Only thing I can directly influence on my own is my breath. So that's why the breath is the entrance point for increasing your HRV over time.
I love this so much because I just feel like it can often land as like that soft skill, like, or a fringe thing, like, oh yeah, sure, you're breathing, whatever, but give me the good stuff. What do I need to do? And yet when it comes to that point, I think it really helps people to really get the gravity of that moment to moment activity that we're doing often on, obviously autonomically, but how we can tap into having our own say and how that goes.
Breath is so underrated, and unfortunately, it's been pulled into this sort of colloquial, like, oh, just take a deep breath kind of thing.
Yes.
And it really does a disservice to how important our breath is, and it also, unfortunately, keeps people from taking advantage of such a powerful tool.
So true. And that's why, you know, for a lot of the people that are listening tend to be more of that kind of type A, or again, this is stereotypes, but like part of what we hear is that challenging aspect of how to slow down. And I think if it takes a metric like this and a tool like this, I think it can be an awesome, awesome entry point to awareness and that real-time kind of biofeedback. So then is there a suggestion too around the type of breathing or techniques, or is it varied? How do you approach that for the slowing of the breath?
I will describe this at the risk of the common misunderstanding that something that is simple is easy. So it's very simple, it's not easy. So basically, the long and the short of it is we sigh for a reason.
Yes.
Right. We do it because it's soothing. That's really all this is. You're taking a natural, easy inhale and you're having a long, smooth, slow exhale.
Right. Wow. Got that.
And the reason why the biofeedback portion is important, right? Just first off, if you're listening to the podcast, you should start breathing this way right now.
Right.
Short, easy, natural inhales, not super short, but like a natural inhale, and then a long, smooth, slow exhale. The reason why the biofeedback is important is that we're not always aware that we're stressed. I don't know about you, but I've had moments where my toes have been curled for an hour and I'm like, oh, why do my toes hurt? Oh yeah, I've been stressed and curling my toes for the last hour and didn't even notice it.
Exactly.
What LEAF does is it alerts you to the fact that you're stressed, which, you know, again, like it seems like, oh, well, I already know when I'm stressed. The fact of the matter is we actually don't know when we're stressed. We're notoriously bad for recognizing our own stress. So it helps you recognize when you're in a state of stress. And then the reason why the biofeedback is important for the breathing is that it makes the breath training really efficient.
Got it. Yeah. Because a lot of people I've spoken with that they're looking to particularly impact or to shift their results with their HRV. They might have gotten, so some examples, people doing a lot of different testing and maybe they get back their cortisol results throughout the day and they see that either one, they've like flatlined, or two, they're having really high spikes in cortisol and they're trying to pinpoint at different points throughout the day when they're particularly stressed. Do you see situations like that where people have kind of abnormal responses throughout the day based on either just long-term chronic stress? And is this something like, are there groups where it's almost like a lost cause, or is there always something that we can do no matter where they're beginning?
I like to think that nobody's a lost cause, and that's me being a psychologist, being a psychologist and, you know, really believing in the power of people to change. People do have different kind of tendencies in their bodies. So for example, and this is not the only one, it's just the most sort of accessible and relatable one, is that when we're hungry, our cortisol levels are going to skyrocket and our HRV is going to go down.
Yes.
Low blood sugar is correlated with high cortisol, and high cortisol is correlated with low HRV.
Great call out, because a lot of clients are wearing continuous glucose monitors and trying to really pinpoint and regulate that blood sugar stability throughout the day. So would you say that this could be a nice complement if you're looking to kind of even that out? You can see very clearly when that's happening, when you're having that instability in the blood sugar?
We haven't gotten data yet to kind of show the direct correlation between the LEAF readout and a blood glucose monitor, but mm-hmm. I would predict that it would be pretty well correlated.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Well, I will start mining that data over here on my side.
The reason I present that as an example is to go back to your original question, is that there are trends throughout the day for everyone. So, you know, if you have a meeting with your boss at 3 o'clock every Tuesday and your boss is, you know, you're not a huge fan and it's a stressful thing, your HRV is going to start going down around 2:30. And guess what? When you're wearing the LEAF, you get that alert that says, oh, hey, by the way, you're stressed and you're about to go into your meeting with your boss. Probably you should do a breathing exercise going right into that meeting so that you are more relaxed and you're going to be more effective.
This is so exciting. I mean, because, you know, the implications of this can be so profound if more and more people were to take this on. Just the course of your day can look very, very different. And then the experience of putting yourself back in the driver's seat versus, oh my God, why did my day go the way my day went? Then you can kind of beforehand preemptively make a difference. Wow.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Really exactly. Cool. Okay. So then a bit more about the actual product itself, because again, I think it's might be new for a lot of people. What does it look like throughout the course of the day? Are you able to exercise with that? Will that give off weird readouts? Is there any sort of recommendations around that?
Yeah, great question. So designed to be worn all day, not designed to be in the shower. The EEG, the electrodes just don't like it. So, you know, that's not a thing. Can't wear it while you swim. The stability while you're exercising is very good. That being said, when you exercise, your HRV is going to go down because your heart is responding appropriately to a stressor. Exercise is a stressor, right? So it's a good stressor, but it's a stressor. So your heart rate is going to be like a metronome while you exercise. And that means that your heart rate variability, the difference in your heart rate from beat to beat, is going to change and it's going to go down. So while you're exercising, it's not going to necessarily give you that useful of data. It does track your heart rate. So if you're interested in that while you're exercising, then that can be helpful.
Sure.
But in terms of HRV as a biomarker, in terms of its utility, while you're exercising, probably not as useful.
Sure.
But recovery afterwards, absolutely. So if you are done with a high intensity workout and you want to return your HRV back to a good high rate, high level, then you can use the Leaf biofeedback exercise to get yourself back into a state of high heart rate variability.
Okay. And then, so we're wearing it throughout the day. We're seeing tendencies, you know, that mid-afternoon possible drip or different, you know, it's dependent on the person naturally. So different times throughout the day. And then we get to the evening. And as you indicated too, for improving our sleep, that being really aware or having that ability to be aware of what our HRV is looking like leading up to bed, it can be really powerful. Are there particular things that you suggest for people to do that seem to have good results for raising that HRV pre-bedtime?
Again, at the risk of sounding redundant.
the breath.
The breath and the device. The device guides you through the breath. And it,
so great.
And it guides you through the breath in such an effective way. So initially, when we first start breathing in that way, our heart rates change after the breath. So we inhale and our heart rates then just millisecond later, they go up. We exhale, our heart rate just a millisecond later, it goes down. With the device, what you'll notice is that it's showing you that little bit of lag and it's going to help you to line up your breath and your heart rate variability perfectly. And when our breath and our heart rate variability is lined up perfectly, that gets us into a state of what's called coherence. It's coherence between the breathing and the heart rate and the heart rate variability. And for whatever reason, when we get into that state of coherence, it's like 10x on our parasympathetic nervous system. It just like rockets it through the roof.
Wow. So interesting. And then do we keep it on while we sleep or are we taking it off before bed? How does that look before we actually fall asleep?
Some people wear it at night just for their own curiosity on their heart rate variability. You're probably not going to get like a biofeedback dose in the middle of the night because your heart rate variability at night is going to be pretty high generally. It's going to be higher than your baseline generally during the night. You know, when we're sleeping, we tend to be fairly relaxed. It's a prerequisite. We sort of have to be relaxed to sleep. Right. So therefore, when we're sleeping, we're relaxed. So no, I typically take mine off at night.
Got that.
I don't wear it throughout the night.
Makes sense. And now I know, I'm sure this question is challenging to answer from a perspective of people want to know like, okay, so what can I get out of it? So is there any expectation of the amount that they can raise their HRV or is it just across the board, you know, depends on the person's commitment and like, are there timelines that you suggest or that you see as standard for people or is it very case by case?
It is case by case. A lot of people see improvements in their baseline HRV after 2 weeks. The program that we're doing is an 8-week program. So we recommend people wear the device for at least 8 weeks. We have sort of like a coaching model where people have a personal coach that they can reach out to. We have built into the app sort of instructions and guidance and troubleshooting and all that that's already built in there. So we recommend that people wear it for 8 weeks, as many hours during the day as they can and want to. And there's so many reasons why having something that's going to alert you in the moment when you're stressed is valuable. First off, it just helps you become aware of what's going on around you. It helps you identify the things that stress you out, the times that you get stressed. And then having that sort of consistent companion of something that's going to guide you through a breathing exercise in that moment. And it's going to remind you of like, oh, hey, this is important. That is valuable. And after 8 weeks or so, a lot of people do choose to then just get the device forever. And they purchase the device instead of renting it from us. They purchase it. And, you know, after 8 weeks, they still have the device and they'll use it. You're going to get pretty good after about 8 weeks of using the device at recognizing your own stressors. You're going to be much more aware of your stressors in the moment because you've gotten that training of like, oh, this alerted me in that moment. So instead of having your toes curled for a half hour, you have your toes curled for a minute, and then you're more aware of whatever that state is.
Got that. Okay. So, and then from the psychological perspective, do you find certain clients that are people that are using this that when they get that alert that they almost get more stressed, or it takes a period of time for them to learn what to do in those moments? For example, like I'll have different people that say, I cannot meditate. It makes me more anxious. Is there any kind of an expectation or framing that we say for people that, okay, it might make you a little freaked out for a little, but it will over time be beneficial?
Absolutely. So I have worked with some patients who just really at first do not like to know what's going on with their heart. It freaks them out. And once they realize that they can influence their heart and their heart rate and their heart rate variability in a really positive direction that makes them feel better, that reticence pretty quickly goes away. In terms of ramp up time, when we first start breathing in any sort of deliberate way, it's tough. It's tough to change your breath. It's automatic. So initially, you know, and a lot of us have heard like, oh, we should be taking deep breaths. We should be inhaling a lot. So having this shift in focus from deep inhales to long, smooth, slow exhales it's a little clunky at first for a lot of people, but it's worth it.
Wow. First of all, I want to say that I'm like smiling ear to ear type of thing, because this makes me very excited for certain clients that, you know, just have had long-term identity, a connection to I'm an anxious person, I'm a depressed person, I like a lot of labels, and this idea that even for those folks, then we can get in there day to day, moment to moment, and really help to rewire that connection. That's just, I think, very, very exciting and certainly important for this conversation around sleep, because then it just seems to often be heightened for many people in that time when there's nothing but them and the bed. So really, really great stuff. The other thing I would say too is I know that now this company has a different kind of clinical approach. So this is like a medical grade piece of equipment. We're not just saying like, oh, you know, just another wearable hasn't totally been tested or verified. Could you at all share a little bit about some of the different kind of clinical results that you guys have been finding?
Let me see. I don't have them on the top of my head. I was not directly involved in the study that we did. I was an advisor, and so I was loosely involved. I'm not going to be able to give you exact numbers, but I do know that at the end of the 8 week program, people's reported stress levels and levels of anxiety, depression scores, as well using the using some really gold standard PHQ GAD scores went down to below clinical threshold. So people who were reporting being above the clinical threshold after 8 weeks, they were reporting below clinical threshold. So it did help significantly over the course of those 8 weeks to reduce people's stress and improve their mood.
Wow, really cool. Okay. And then the other thing I was going to ask is, for those people that say they're tracking, they have a bunch of different trackers and they're getting HRV numbers from all kinds of different sources, and they're trying to understand like why on one piece of measurement tool am I getting an HRV readout that's very different from another one? Is there a particular method that this is utilizing to ensure that the results for that HRV are up to that clinical medical grade?
Yes, and I have like a little snarky thing to say, sorry, but that's just my personality. You'll notice a lot of the trackers, where are they located, right?
Yes.
Hand, wrist, right? It's far away from your heart. You're not going to get good HRV data from that far away.
Our device
is going directly over your heart, and it's measuring the electrical signals, not just the peripheral registering of your heart rate changes through oxygen, blood, you know, heartbeat, stuff like that. Yeah, it's right over the heart. It's the most accurate you can get.
I love that you said that. That was so great. I have that similar sort of thought for when people will reference the wearables with the sleep stages readout and how challenging / just not happening it is to be able to get that from a hand or a wrist. Not the case.
I cannot tell you also the number of times that I have to like help reduce somebody's anxiety for them saying like, hey, my wearable is telling me that I'm getting light sleep all night.
Yes.
And it's like, so they're like, oh, I'm only getting, you know, 15% of deep sleep, and I'm only getting 15-20% of REM sleep, and the rest of my sleep is light sleep. Nobody bothers to explain to people that you're supposed to be in stage two, this sort of like lighter stage of sleep, for 50% of your night. Nobody bothers to tell you. They just tell you that you're getting light sleep, and it's really not helpful.
Right, exactly. And the placement, you know, so much of the polysonogram, you know, the head-based element, the electrical component, or certainly the brain electrical component in this conversation for HRV, the heart. Yeah, really, really important distinction. So thanks for that clarity. That was great. Awesome. And then so quick question just for you, what has your experience, have you had a personal experience with HRV and tracking with a tracker like this? Is this something where you have done it for a short period of time and then you kind of know the deal, or do you come back to it? What is your approach on a personal level?
On a personal level, I wore the device through the various iterations of it. We affectionately refer to V0 as the egg box. It looked like a little scrambled egg, and it was just, or like a little sunny side up egg. It was just like delicate wooden box that was like really quite clunky. The vibration was really loud. So it's been really exciting to watch the iterations over time. And now we have this smooth, flexible, you know, the charge lasts all day. The, you know, the data is really clean. The vibration feels smooth and nice and subtle, but, you know, good enough that you can feel it. And it's just, it's been so great to experience the iterations. And yeah, I go in and out of wearing my device, just like anybody sort of goes in and out of having a regular meditation practice, regular exercise practice. You sort of, you know, you wear it for a few weeks and one day you're out and about and you forget about it. And then maybe it sits on the shelf for a day or two and then you pull it back on. And I still find, and I'm personally surprised by this, despite being on the team, I'm surprised that I still get value out of it.
Wow.
You know, being a psychologist, I like to think of myself as fairly reflective and self-aware, and I still find myself in these moments where my toes are curled and I don't know why. And so whenever I wear the Leaf, I do get value out of it. It tells me when I'm stressed, and it helps me get out of that stress state as quickly as possible.
Wow. Really very cool. And I like that approach that no matter, even if you're someone that's your livelihood is day in, day out, understanding this kind of psychological component to health, and yet you too can continue to improve upon how you're responding to your stimulus and your environment. Of course, life is dynamic and there's different variables that are coming our way, different diets that we're a part of, different all the things. So really, really cool that this is available. And the next thing I wanted to say was, so for people that are curious about learning more about this, how can they learn more? How can they follow what you guys are up to and presumably the many extra, the new iterations of this product in the future?
Go to our website, getleaf.com.
Yes, with an I.
L-I-E-F. L-I as in relief. That was the...
Exactly.
The part that we brainstormed on. So getleaf.com with an I, relief, IEF.
So great. And you guys have a couple different options, I believe, too, of, you know, so even if you want to kind of, like you said, you know, rent the product or buy it outright, you know, so mm-hmm. no matter where you are financially, you know, there's kind of different price points to be able to get in there and start to have that awareness.
Yep. And we're working on getting our device approved for use through insurance companies.
Right now
it can be billed out of network. So given that it's an FDA approved remote patient monitoring device, we can bill for out of network. We're working on getting in network with some major insurance companies, but for now we're approved to submit through insurance companies. So it can be covered by insurance.
So huge. Well, this feels for me like the future of, and also just, you know, mental health itself, certainly physiological health, of course, but just that ability to have a look and have a say and have an awareness of how to change that moment to moment is huge, huge, huge. So I really thank you for what you're doing and for taking the time to speak with us and educate us about this a little bit more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Molly, for having me on.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, the number one podcast for people who want to take their sleep skills to the next level. Every Monday, I send out something that I call Molly's Monday Obsessions, containing everything that I'm obsessing over in the world of sleep. Head on over to sleepisaskill.com to sign up.